Yes, the communication device. Yes. It knows who I am, and it knows how much it can say or not. I don't always know when it isn't saying something, because there isn't like a blank space, it just all flows. But I remember when I was younger, it didn't say quite as much, and didn't know any different then. I couldn't tell that it wasn't telling me things. Next headline, evolving into adulthood. So when are you an adult in your society? I'm glad you asked that. It's not on the basis of years. It's on the basis of, you find something you want to do, you have a talent or an interest, like I found, and then you gently and slowly, according to how you can take it in and feel good about it and maybe look at other things, to train for the job. When you are actually trained for the job and are doing the job, like my mom, then you're an adult. Ah. So it doesn't have anything. Mom says it's not about years, it's about your development as a person. Wonderful. But what do you look forward to, then, before you can go out on the job, as your mother did? Just very roughly, in years. It's not about years. It's not about years, I know, but I'm just trying to get some sort of an understanding. Well, let's put it this way, how old was your mother when she started going out? Oh, Mom, I think she was around 174 when she was apprenticing. She went out, but she went out with somebody else. I'll do that, too. That's when she started. So, let's say, a couple hundred years then, give or take, would be. She said you can't do that with our people. Some find and do much quicker, and others, later. And there's no judgment. Remember, nobody ever says, hurry up. And you know, Mom told me why. She said that the elders who started our culture thought about it for a long time and realized that if anybody hurries up, he or she is going to miss something that would make him or her a better citizen and a better teacher. And it's more important that you get everything that you would get to become a citizen or a teacher or whatever job you're going to do, because even if you do a job that isn't about being a teacher, you'll probably be a teacher someday, either with your children or with someone who apprentices with or under you. So you're going to be a teacher anyway, they say. So you not only learn, when you learn from teachers, you learn how to teach. Anyway. What was I talking about? Chuckles. Oh, the hurry up part. Yes, they never say, hurry up. And the elders decided to not say, hurry up. Because they didn't want to make our citizens be less. If you tell people to rush and hurry up, they'll be less than they could have been, and when people are less than they could have been, then the society doesn't grow. You don't grow and improve. Different people have different experiences, and when they have different experiences or different conversations or stimulations as a young one, then they need to expand and understand and experience that, and slowly accumulate their experience and interest. But if you say, even nicely, hurry up. Then maybe they skip some of that, and instead of expanding and becoming more, and because of their interest, building a new level of whatever job they go into because of who they are, they just might become a less. And then the same skills are repeated. So people are encouraged to become all that they might become from their growing up. Do you understand? Next headline. The channeling connection. I haven't done this before. This is a special thing Mom said I could do. She told me it might happen. She said it's not for sure, but since it might happen, I'd have to get ready. So I got ready for a while. How did you get ready? Well, first Mom said what would happen, and she showed me, because she knows how. And then she said I could train with dot the device. Yes, and I did. The device would talk to me, and then I would repeat the words. And then I would talk to the device, and the device would repeat the words. That was part of my training. And then Mum said, now you're ready to do it without talking out loud. So I'm just sitting in front of it now, and thinking toward the device? Not thinking exactly, but the device is connecting somehow with Robert. And I think that this person. There's a person up here. Zoosh. I think so. It was kind of shocking. What does he look like? Just a minute, wait a minute. Okay. I'm not used to being startled. It's not like he looks like. I can kind of see him, and he looks the same way when I look out, wearing the thing. The postage stamp, that you called it. When I look out to sea and I'm in another world, like on your planet, and I see through this thing. He looks like that. It's like an energy. But he doesn't have a face like you or me. What color is his energy? Well, it's kind of a... not exactly white and not exactly gold. Something like that at the moment. Laughs, and he said, not exactly purple. He likes to make little jokes, I have noticed. Yes, he does. He's a delight, yes. Is he all in the room, or are you seeing him from where you sit? I'm just seeing him up here, but it's close. It's kind of where this thing is. The lamp, okay. More than that. But that's where I'm seeing him. He's been here the whole time I've been here. I think he helps make the connection. That's wonderful. Next headline, Leah honored a professor. Well, you've chosen the most interesting career or job that I can think of. I like it a lot, because I can travel and go places and see new things and meet new people. New for me, chuckles. It's just a lot of fun. And watching my mom. I can really see what a good service it is, like with the professor. If my mom hadn't been on board, she told me and I agree, I don't think they would have made much progress, because the professor didn't communicate very well with the others. I think the professor felt a bit intimidated, and I know why. Why? When the professor spoke to my mom, she talked to him like it was an honor, like she was impressed with him and she honored him and appreciated him, like all of that. But when the scientists spoke to him, it was more eye to eye. The professor couldn't say anything to impress them. The professor wanted to know what they knew so that he could show them, this is what mom says, that he needed to be taken seriously. He was a man of education and culture. But he was kind of intimidated by the scientists, because they had so much more knowledge and culture than him, that I think they didn't do this. But just by being themselves, the professor, I think, felt kind of small. But when he talked to mom, then he was at ease and could be himself. Yes, because she was like a diplomat, she made him feel like that. That's right. She knew how to talk to him and encourage him and help him to get through the experience and get the most out of it. He still needed to talk to them, but what she did, and what the adults agreed to, is that even though he could talk to them directly, she would be a liaison, they would talk to her, and she would talk to him, not at the same time. But they'd talk to her about what they wanted to say to him that day or at that time and explain it to her, and then she would put it into words that would honor him and encourage him to feel appreciated. The contact didn't work out the way we hoped. I understand that you may not know, but what, in your understanding, was the purpose of their talking to him? They wanted to instruct him how to do some things that would improve everybody's quality of life on Earth, so Earth people could fly out to the stars and someday meet us on our home, rather than us having to come all the way to meet you all the time. And then also, you'd meet lots of other people and get to know things, and sometimes maybe we could meet halfway. So they wanted to give him this. When I heard them talking to each other, it wasn't like the scientists thought of it as giving the Earth person this big thing, they thought of it as something. Oh, wait, wait, Mom told me this once. This is the time that I'm getting that I can use this. They felt it was just the same as stopping to help someone with a flat tire. Laughs, and our space program had a flat tire. Yes, it was not a big thing, but it would be received as a big thing. But it didn't work the way everybody hoped. We did meet with the older lady, and she, I think, is important. And then, I didn't see the meetings with the other two. Mom told me they met the artist and they met the teacher. The teacher, I think, is in Europe, and the artist is in Canada. Was it later that you understood that it didn't work out? Mom told me later that it didn't work out. How did she explain that? She said that because the man was so important already, people wanted him to be what he'd always been, and they couldn't accept him in the role of being a leader in this new way. They needed him, that's it. She said they needed him to be what he was. But he had grown because of this contact and become a bigger citizen, a larger citizen. Oh, yes. In his diary, his mind and his spiritual abilities expanded. They were incredible. And he couldn't be what he was anymore, he couldn't even pretend. He wasn't the sort of man who could lie. He could be polite, but when he was something, he had to be it. It was in his nature, Mom said, to be what he felt. Did you hear what happened to him? Only a little bit, that he got treated like he was a sick person, that people didn't believe him, and worse yet, that they misunderstood him. That's unfortunate. Mom said it was worth trying and that they wouldn't give up. They'd do it again with someone else. Did they do that? I don't know. She didn't tell me. Can you ask Zoosh if Robert is okay, or if we need to quit? We probably need to stop pretty soon, and then maybe tomorrow you can talk to others. Tomorrow we have Sunday, when we... Do you do that? What? Have a day when you don't work? Oh yes. It's not always the same time, but we have times when we have, like, holidays, or we do special things, or family days, only with family. Yes, we have that. Well, you've been wonderful. You've been a delight to talk to. I hope I meet you someday when we go out there. Laughs, maybe, but I may not be as young. Laughs, no, you probably won't. And I will probably be in a different body. But that's the way it goes. But I might remember you, even if you are in a different body, and then we can talk about old times. Laughs, thank you so much. You're wonderful. Chuckles, goodbye. Goodbye. Next headline, Chapter 3. Dustin, the junior scientist. August 6, 2001. I am Dustin, one of the scientists aboard the ship that the professor attended. Please remind the channel that he needs to do this, wipes eyes, even when he isn't channeling, because the nature of the energy that comes through him these days still causes the effect, so that when he gets that feeling, that sort of stinging, uncomfortable feeling, hair in your eye feeling, and there isn't one, it's because the energy needs to be wiped out of the corners of his eyes. You try that, too. See if it helps you. Oh, thank you. I thought it was my eyes going bad. Next headline, a litany of calamities. We have a real problem here. We have access to very little of what the professor was told by Euthrulia. Mostly we have a very dear woman, Zsa Rodriguez, who took notes from the professor's notes and took fast shorthand from his talking to her, and she didn't have the scientific concepts to write it down accurately. The original book is missing a lot. May I say this? This is the source of the problem. When we spoke to the professor, we would often say, if you don't do this, then this will happen. When we spoke to him that way, we weren't talking to him as, you, professor, if you don't do this, then this will happen, but you, humans on Earth, if you don't do this, then this will happen. Not because we were going to make it happen, it wasn't a threat, this was just what we had noticed, what other planets of your type had experienced. Though we have to admit that we haven't seen too many civilizations of your type. Nevertheless, we felt that with, how can you say, the environment of the planet showing such signs, that if you didn't do this, whatever we were talking about, that inevitably this other thing would follow. If you think about it, that's why the translation got messed up, because that was hot the way the professor spoke about it. Remember, by the time the woman got there, the professor was trying to convince people that it was real. So he didn't say, if we don't do this, then this will happen. What he said was, this is going to happen unless we do this. If you think about this, it will make sense to you. When you say it that way, you're trying to get people's attention. And when you say that some kind of calamity is going to happen, they hear the warning, the calamity. When you go on to say, then you have to do this, they don't hear that as love. For example, in your culture, on comes the news. The news flash, tornado coming. People hear that loud and clear, tornado coming. But do they read the rest of the news flash, go to your shelter, all the instructions? No. The first thing they do is run around to everybody they know or call everybody they know, tornado coming. Or hurricane or big storm, whatever the warning is about. So the psychology is a big factor of why things got, as you say, messed up. Yes, because as the Rodriguez never heard anything about, if you don't do this. There was nothing like that, it was just one catastrophe after another. And that's because of the way the professor said it. The professor, by that time, was saying, look, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. He went through the litany of all the potential catastrophes. Of course, that's the kind of thing that's going to get your attention. Now, it wasn't, if you don't do this, then this is going to happen. That's the scientific way to say something. In short, if you don't radiate the pettish with this level of sterilization, for example, then you can expect this to happen, just like in a classroom, right? It was like that. But you have to recognize that people didn't believe the professor, even though he was chosen not only because he had the capacity and capability to communicate, but because he was a man of influence and his soul had indicated that he would not just be happy to be involved in this project, but would actually embrace it. So that's how it happened. When you know that, it makes complete sense why the book is essentially, first, backward, and then incomplete. This is not the fault of the author or the person who published it, it's strictly the psychology. It isn't about finding fault, it's that the psychology got turned around. And when psychology happens like that, you've studied it enough, you know. Someone runs through the street and says, fire. You don't say, what should we do about it? What do you say? Run. Laws. Or where? Where? Yes. That's right. But you do not say, what do we do? The second problem is that at the end, he didn't even take notes anymore. He got so depressed and so overwhelmed. That's right. And then he would spec on the phone or dictate to this lady. She was a wonderful person, but she wasn't trained scientifically and she didn't even know what he was talking about, so what she did write down in shorthand, she couldn't make out later what it was he said. So she was left with her impressions, and the main thing she noticed and could read and understand was about the calamities. That's why it reads as a prediction for calamities rather than as a suggestion on ways to avert the calamities. Can we bring up some of the calamities, and you give us the ways to avert them? I will do what I can. Time has gone by, so things will be different. This information was given to the professor between about 1973 and 1981 in our time. Well, there you are. The solutions are going to be a lot different. I will offer what I can, given that things have gotten worse in terms of your performing technology in ways that are harming the planet. You can't harm the planet without harming yourselves. As you may have noticed, the types of diseases that are around today do not coincide sufficiently with diseases of the past so that your past accumulation of wisdom is always helpful. Also, there's the other element. I don't know if you knew then, but I'm sure you know now. We're not just an aberrant, violent people. I mean, this is the explorer race. We had to leave our memory at the gate, on the other side of the veil. Yes, you knew that before? Number, you know it now. Yes. Next headline, our journeys to Earth and experiential time. All right, where do we start? How many voyages did you make here from your home planet to Earth in those times? Yes, to Earth in those times. 3, maybe 4, depending on how you count it. My understanding is that you were able to travel in time, so you made one trip, but you might have visited the professor in 72, 73, 74, something like that? Yes. Okay, that makes sense. So he would wait longingly for you to arrive, and it was just that the time sequence was different. Exactly. This is what your friend Zawash, who as you know helps to make these connections, calls experiential time. It's a very good explanation. We were there the whole so-called time, but we had to wait for the professor to process personally what we told him, interact with others to see what would happen and conduct his life in the best way he knew. So even though it was one trip for us, where we would see him this year, then another year experimentally, the time was different for him. So we were here, right, and he was here. We were here in this one. Here doesn't do very good on tape, does it? Draws, see below, this is us. I'm just putting P in here to connect the professor. Next is a drawing and she says. That's not necessarily all. That's just by way of an illustration, not necessarily suggesting that these P's going forward are all the different times. It's just by way to show the difference, in a picture, of experiential time, meaning, we were here all the time. In one trip. You asked how many times we came? How many trips did we make? We made 3 or 4, depending on how you count it, but all of the times we saw the professor was in one trip. We were just here for a few hours. Remember, you have to shift your gears. That illustration apparently didn't do it. A few hours? He's got 100 hours of information that you gave him. 5 minutes experiential time. A lot of your problem here is because you don't understand experiential time. You've been using the term but not knowing what it means, you understand? I'm not saying that you don't have the mental capacity, you just haven't caught on to it yet. Draws, see below, now these circles we're using to represent the professor, alright? We can go and visit the professor and spend, say, hours or days with him, okay? But it's just a line where you go. You go somewhere, alright, it's maybe a little more difficult. You can go somewhere and spend hours. Next is a drawing and she says. This is our time, this is your time. We can go to your time and be there for hours or days, and we can come back to the exact moment of our time that we left, and on and on and on and on. I'm saying 5 minutes, but that's just for an example. But, in fact, like I say, all together, counting all the trips we made, we were here for maybe a couple of hours at the most. A couple of hours, of which you would consider. If you were in existence in our time and you had on your watch, if asked the sum total of all of the time, with your watch running on your time, during all the visits we made to all of the people we came to visit, you would say, well, it's not quite 2 hours. Not because your time is slower or anybody else's time is faster, but because when we come back to our time and our place, we choose to come back when no time has elapsed, though maybe when a second or two has elapsed for some internal reason, internal meaning our ship, this and that. Alright, so that clears up another thing, then. You didn't come in our time in 1293 and 1350, you went and checked it out from this trip. You said you first came in 1295 and 1330. You went back in time, to that time. That's right. Okay, I see. Alright, I'm glad, that clears it up for everyone. Because when Zoosh talks about experiential time, from Zoosh's projection, is how long it takes you to do something. But without this other explanation, meaning a comparison, it doesn't fill it in for you. Next headline. The atomic incident near Kodiak, Alaska. One of the things you did that the professor experienced and wrote about is, you collected and removed all the radiation from an atomic test site in the Kodiak area of Alaska. Is that the only time you did that? An atomic test, it says in the book there. Yes. There was a submarine and a ship and a bomb test. A bomb test? Don't you think you would have heard about that? Our people are exploding atomic bombs all the time. They're testing them everywhere. Underground, though. Well, it says very clearly that your people gathered up and neutralized all the atomic radiation. But it wasn't from a test. I see. Okay, well, tell me what it was, if you remember. See if you can find what it says. But don't want to. What do they call that? Buttonhole you. Our social scientist has shared many of your expressions with us. That's Leah, our social scientist. Of course, She is more than that, but that's one of her titles. Essentially, it translates to you that way. Well, you don't have to do that. I address what you ask about. It wasn't a test, it was an accident.
An accident?
That's not clear in the book. Well, the professor just describes it very briefly. He saw a submarine and a flame, and there was an explosion, and you guys gathered up the waste. That's basically what it says. It wasn't a test. It was a plane from one country and a submarine from another country that engaged in warfare. Oh, my God. This happens. I'm sorry to say, it happens not infrequently in your time. Countries don't come out and say, "We are at war with you," but a state of limited warfare has existed between the United States and several other countries in the world for a long time. It was, I believe, not long ago, one of the submarines from a slightly former enemy. Russia, yes? The Kursk. Yes, and Russia has made it clear in their diplomatic parlance that they do not think that it was an accident or sabotage, and they are right. Who did it? I am not going to say. Why start a big fight? A national incident, yes, that's right. I will just say that it happened as a result of an engagement with another ship. I'm not saying it was from the US, it was simply an engagement with another ship who got away clean, as you say. But if the Russians are able to restore any of their computer records, this is questionable, but if they are able, that is the reason they are raising the sub, not to get the people out to bury them. That is what is stated to the public, but they have lost other ships at sea at other times, and they didn't raise those. It's because they want to see what they can find out, and if they find out something they don't like, well. What would you do if one of your submarines was destroyed by a foreign country? Your country would do everything it could to find out who did it and then bide its time until it could get its revenge in some way. So what I am saying is that these incidents, as they are called in military parlance, are not the truth. The problem with this particular incident, which was greater than usual, was that at that time both of the countries, and I won't say who, the plane was from one and the ship was from another, were experimenting with nuclear devices that created excessive radiation, and one of the countries simply, their nuclear devices always create excessive radiation. Both of the vehicles were equipped with these devices, so the radiation level was so vast that if there had not been some interference, and we got in trouble for that, but if we had not interfered and reclaimed most of that nuclear waste, at this time not only Alaska but a great deal of Canada would be uninhabitable. Oh, my God, thank you. How did you know? What is your ability to see in advance?
We didn't see in advance, we were here.
So you're able to scan the whole planet and know what's going on? Think about it for a moment. Go back to the experiential time charts. Say you come here from another planet in a vehicle that can travel in time as well as have access to what's going on in different times, meaning past, present, potential future. That's only potential, because it depends on what the future is anchored in. But I think you've explored that enough in other volumes of these books. But if you can do that, then coming here. And you probably will examine the histories before you come, but say you just come and you do it, you examine it. You could say that you've been to all times, because you've examined what happened there, looking for various types of activities. And sometimes certain activities make a bigger mark in time when they have profound and lasting effects. This made a big mark, and we noticed it. And we superseded our authority and did something about it. Now, if we hadn't. At the time it seemed like the right thing to do, it wasn't my decision, but I did my part. Looking back on it, if we hadn't had done it, that would have been the incident that would have globally changed nuclear policy, because the entire state of Alaska, most of Western Canada and a little bit of the Northwestern contiguous, as they call it, United States, would have been uninhabitable. Such an impact to two of the leading nations on Earth at that time would have created a driving force to eliminate nuclear weapons forever. So you see, there's another side to our attempt to help out. Granted,
there would have been a catastrophe, many, many people would have died. But if we hadn't have interfered, maybe in some ways things would have been better now. Did the ship shoot the plane, or did the plane shoot the ship? I'm not going to say. But you can guess.